The largest Salvador Dali retrospective in 25 years is now on exhibit at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Salvador Dali is one of the best-known artists of the 20th century, but his relentless self-promotion, which accounted for much of his fame, also drove many critics to dismiss much of his work. The Philadelphia retrospective is the first since Mr. Dali died 15 years ago and is trying to lift his reputation as an artist. From member station WHYY, Joel Rose reports.
The Philadelphia Museum of Art is hoping for near-record crowds, but the exhibit's co-curator, Dawn Addes, says it's not the public she's hoping to win over.
There's perhaps the greatest mismatch of any artist between his popular reputation and his critical reputation.
Addes says there's no debate that Dali's surrealist work is important and influential. In the 1920s and 30s, he combined an impressive technique learned from realist painters with a surreal sensibility informed by reading Freud. It's the paintings he made after 1939, when he came to the United States and became famous, that critics never embraced.
Art historians are still wary of Dali. Art critics are very wary of Dali. And so I think what we're trying to do is to get people to look again, particularly at the post-war paintings.
Addes herself didn't particularly like Dali's later work 25 years ago when she published her first monograph on the artist. Today, she is a fan, but Tyler Green, art critic for the Bloomberg News Service, remains skeptical.
The art is pretty self-obsessed. It's long been regarded by art historians and critics as kitschy and pretty dreadful. I can't remember seeing late Dali work out as part of a permanent collection installation anywhere I've been lately. It's not work that's on view very often because museums that own that work have decided, well, we don't really need that stuff out. And they're right.
Dali's fall from grace among critics and scholars began in the late 1930s when the Surrealist movement kicked him out. Officially, it was for refusing to toe the party line, which was pro-communist, but many felt he'd sold out. Surrealist André Breton gave him the nickname Evita Dollars, an anagram of Salvador Dali, which means greedy for dollars. Dali did not help his art world reputation by making television commercials or working on Hollywood films. He designed the dream sequence for Alfred Hitchcock's 1945 movie, Spellbound.
I can't make out just what sort of a place it was. Seemed to be a gambling house. But there weren't any walls, just a lot of curtains with eyes painted on them. A man was walking around with a large pair of scissors cutting all the drapes in half.
What truly seemed to infuriate the critics was Dali's shameless advocacy of his own self-proclaimed genius. He appeared frequently on the TV talk show circuit, where he mugged for the camera and flaunted his gravity-defying mustache. In this 1958 interview, Dali spars with journalist Mike Wallace.
My personality is more important than every of these little facets of my activity.
In other words, what is most important to you
is my personality.
Is
Dali.
Expressing Dali.
Dali.
Not the painting, not the clowning, nothing but...
The painting, the clowning, the showmanship, the technique, everything is only one manner for express the total personality of Dali.
Dali's problem was that he was born maybe 30 years too early.
Michael Taylor is co-curator of the Philadelphia Retrospective.
He wanted to reach a large audience. He was very media savvy and was aware of himself as a public celebrity. His attitudes, I think, are far more in tune with an artist like Andy Warhol, who was interested in celebrity culture and the way in which an artist is so much more than their work.
The work is the primary focus of this exhibition, which also appeared last year at the Palazzo Grassi in Venice. The show does not include Dali's most famous painting, The Persistence of Memory. That work, with its melting clocks draped over bare branches in a barren desert, is still at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, which declined to lend it for this show. But Dali's other major paintings are here. Curator Dawn Addes says they combine the brushwork and spatial perspective of classical painting with the paranoia of the 20th century. As Dali himself put it, the handmade photography of concrete irrationality.
There's a narrative there, and it grips you from the moment you look at it. And they're telling you about anxieties, about sexual fears, about problematic relations with male and female sexuality.
The 1929 painting Accommodations of Desire is again set against a barren landscape. There is a bearded face that could be Freud, various lions, or parts of lions, ants arranged suggestively, and a despairing male figure, head and hands. Co-curator Michael Taylor says Dali offers a coded message for the viewer to figure out.
That is part of his appeal, he's so unashamedly prepared to look at his own neuroses and his hidden fears and desires and anxieties and paint them. He actually came up with a unique language in which to speak to repressed desires that I think we all feel.
Kaler says Dalí gave artists in the modern age permission to look back to classical techniques. But even as new scholarship makes the case for Dalí the artist, Dalí the showman refuses to go quietly. Critic Tyler Green says the retrospective at the Philadelphia Museum of Art inadvertently reminds you of the artist's egotism.
The image Dalí created with the mustaches, he still can't avoid it. When a museum does a retrospective of his work, the mustaches are on sale in the gift shop.
As they are in Philadelphia. In fact, the marketing campaign for the retrospective doesn't focus on any of Dalí's famous paintings. Instead, it's a photograph of his maybe even more famous mustache. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose in Philadelphia.
And you can see a gallery of images from the Dalí exhibit, maybe even the mustache, at our website, npr.org.